Now let's turn in our Bibles again to Matthew 26, verses 30 through 46. I already mentioned that this occurred between the Last Supper and when Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus. You're very familiar, I think, with a little bit further than where we completed the reading there, but you're familiar, I trust, with how Jesus prayed in the garden and how he labored under, on the one hand, the knowledge of what was coming. Certainly the betrayal, certainly watching others in their heartache and grief. His own earthly mother there, you know, Mary, his disciples, the heartache that they knew that they would, he knew they would be dealing with. Not to mention his own suffering, not to mention the fact that he would be nailed to a cross. Not to mention, of course, or not to forget, the most significant is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? This prayer that Jesus is praying here is all about that. He knew all about it. Peter did not. James and John did not. But what we'd like to look at tonight is two very specific incidences that we already read of here. Both of them having to do with Peter. And I believe that as we observe Peter, we can learn lessons about ourselves that we need to consider. Putting it a different way, let's tonight not be content with a history lesson about Peter's humanity. Let's rather recognize that Peter is not unlike us and we are not unlike him. If we were to take Peter and his humanity, and if we were to contrast that with Jesus and his humanity, let us all humbly and honestly admit that we are much more like Peter than we are like our Lord Jesus. And so let us learn about our own selves here in our text. Verses 31 through 35, we see that Peter was willing, and so are we. We are very willing. No one, I don't think, unless maybe, I don't know, I hope not, but there might be someone that feels like they were dragged here kicking and screaming. I hope not. I hope from the oldest to the very youngest that you are here because you want to be. I hope you're not here merely because your parent makes you or your wife makes you or your husband makes you or something else. You're here just kind of to get somebody off your back. I hope that's not the case. If not, then you're here because you're willing. You want to be here. You want to listen to the Word of God. You want to be exposed to the singing of God's people together, the kind of words, the kind of singing that we're listening to that really probe our hearts and our minds, the intellectual exercise of taking those lyrics and considering them and letting them probe who we are and how we're responding to our God. And then the prayers that we have here tonight. And then, of course, the words of God, to spend time and look at this. And listen, if you want to be here, that's why. We are willing. There are two examples, I think, of very sincere willingness in this text. Look with me as I read it again in verse 31. And look for both of these strong, bold statements of willingness from Peter. Verse 31, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it's written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said now to him, at first, he spoke to all of them, all ye shall be offended. Now he speaks only to one. And he says to him, our text says, verily I say unto thee, thou, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter again with willingness, listen to our brother. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And likewise, of course, so also said all the disciples. I believe these are examples of very sincere willingness. Peter was not stupid. Peter was not just filled with machismo and bravado. Peter wasn't just blowing smoke. Peter was not just talking in order to try to impress Jesus or to impress the others. Peter believed this. Peter was very willing. He thought that he thought of himself as willing despite the others. What did Jesus say? Jesus said, "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." And Peter willingly singled himself out and said these words, "Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. I will never abandon you, Lord Jesus. I will never be disloyal to you, Lord Jesus. I love you, Lord Jesus." This is the man who, when they were all questioned, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" This was the man that said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Could it be that our own willingness, as sincere as it may well be, could it be that our own willingness blinds us to our own vulnerability? Could it be that when Peter heard, "All ye shall be offended," that he was able somehow in his own mind to single himself out and think, "I won't! No, I won't! No, I won't!" Could it be that we could think the same? Could it be that some of us as God's children could take this precious book and read about a Demas, a Judas, a John the Baptist, late in life, wallowing in jail, having at one point said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world," and now finds himself in some fear and doubt and difficulty, and he sends his followers, "Go ask Jesus, are you truly the one that we're looking for?" Could it be that we might think of others and their fears and their difficulties and their challenges and think, "It'll never happen to me"? Oh, dear Christian, be warned. You and I can fall away. Yes, we can. That's the warning we have in our text. Peter thought of himself as willing despite others. Yes, they may fail. "All ye shall be offended," Jesus said, but even if everybody shall be offended because of you, not me, I will be loyal. Peter meant that. Peter was as sincere as he could be. But our sincerity is not enough, because we can be sincere and yet wrong. Oh, what a warning it is. But there's another one. Peter thought himself willing despite death. Not merely despite others' offenses, but Peter looked at himself and he thought, "I will die for you." Jesus' words, "This night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." This night, before dawn, you will deny me three times. What did Peter say? Peter said, "Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee." You know, the problem here is that Peter could not fathom. He couldn't even comprehend. He could not envision. It couldn't enter Peter's imagination any possible situation that he would find himself in that would cause him to be offended by Jesus or to deny him. Oh, but Jesus knew. Jesus did not say to him, "You will deny me three times," because Jesus was against him. It was because Jesus was for him. The warnings of Scripture are not idle threats. They are from a loving, gracious, kind God. It's as though God were taking us by the face and holding us up to him and looking us eyeball to eyeball, saying, "Listen to me, I'm warning you, this can happen to you, be warned." And yet, it's as though we hear and we hear and we hear and we hear, but we don't really believe we're vulnerable until we fall. Until it is too late. Our culture is rampant with stories like this. Our Bible is filled with stories like this, that we fail and we fall, and only later we look back and we say, how did this happen? And we learn in our text tonight how, in fact, this happens. Our sincere willingness is awesome. Be willing. Be beyond willing. Be eager. Be as willing as you possibly can be. But being willing can be delusional when we think that merely willingness is reality. You may want to be faithful, but my dear Christian friend, that does not mean that you are. You may want to be faithful in prayer, but that does not mean that you are praying. You may want to really love this book, but unless you're in it, oh, dear friend, be careful. It is very possible for us to be deluded, to be deceived, to believe a lie, even a lie told to our minds by our own very hearts, the heart being deceitful, above all things, desperately wicked. We are willing. Peter was willing. It is not bad to be willing. It is not bad, I don't think, for Peter to express his willingness here until the words of Jesus to him did not penetrate because he was so willing, so convinced that he would not deny the Lord Jesus, so convinced that even if everybody would be offended, I will not, I will not, I will never be offended. The words of Jesus did not pierce because he was so convinced of his own willingness. Lesson number one, like Peter, we are willing. Lesson number two, verse 36. In verse 36, we find that there has been some measure of time now. Verse 36 talks about how Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane. They were on their way there, but verse 36, then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And so the disciples are going to stay there, and Jesus is going to leave. But all you know the rest of the story. Look at verse 37. And he took with him Peter. Isn't that precious after what Peter has just said to him? Isn't it marvelous our loving Lord didn't say, Peter, you have no clue. I mean, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me. I know that. You don't know that. That's going to happen. You stay here with the losers. Come with. No, you can't come with me. No, 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 no. No, that's not our precious Lord. No. His grace, his mercy is abundant on Peter, on you, on me. Listen, he took Peter with him. And the scripture goes on and says, he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And Luke records these words, Matthew records these words, sorry, about his sorrow and being very heavy. Can you feel that tonight? Can you feel this sense of grief that is coming upon Jesus as he knows what's coming? Can you feel this sense of burden, this heaviness? We hear about the coronavirus, and it's horrifying to think about folks who get this and it becomes full-blown. And one of the huge issues is that it goes into pneumonia and they cannot breathe. I can't imagine. I hope I never experience that. But this idea of being unable to breathe, that's the heaviness, perhaps, that our Lord Jesus is feeling here. He is sorrowful and very heavy. The burden on him is beating him down, weighing him down, more than he can carry alone. Even Jesus, more than he can carry alone. He wants help, and so he says to these three, Peter, James, and John, verse 36, then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Watch with me. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, Peter, he saith unto Peter, though there were three there, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? We have seen that Peter was weak, that Peter was willing, and now we see that Peter was weak. That's what he said in the next verse. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Who would criticize Peter for falling asleep? Who would be so harsh as to somehow think that it would be beyond them to lose attention, to drift off in prayer or in preaching, hopefully not while you're doing the preaching, but listening to it or that sort of thing? Who would be so emboldened to think that can't happen to me? We see his weakness here. It's amazing to think that they heard his plan. Jesus said, sit here while I go and pray yonder. Parallel scripture says he was but a stone throw away. Now, I don't know how far they could throw that, but I can't throw very far anymore. I used to be able to heave a ball a long way from the outfield to home plate. You know, we talk about these exploits of high school and college days. No longer, let me say, if I tried to throw a small stone that way, I'd probably be hurting for days. They heard his plan. Sit ye here while I go and pray. I mean, can you imagine? Think with me. Can you imagine? I want you to grab this. Because to sleep, it's not just that they're tired, they're sleeping. They're sleeping in the middle, at the cusp of this. They're at a prayer meeting that is transcendent of all prayer meetings. Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. They heard about his plan. They heard his burden. Jesus said to Peter, James, and John, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death, even unto death. I am filled with such burden that it could kill me. This is just weighing me down. Even unto death, my soul is sorrowful. My heart, my mind, my innermost being, to the depths of who I am. This is not some peripheral, small, outside, external thing that might just somehow be dealt with, like as though some kind of a job loss or a financial loss or some kind of a materialistic. No. This is his soul, my brothers and sisters. His soul weighed down with the burdens of what he knows is coming. They heard his plan and they heard his burden and they heard his request. This is heartbreaking to ponder. Tarry ye here and watch with me. Would you stand watch with me? Maybe the idea is, in some measure, is would you just watch me and learn? I don't think he was saying watch that no one comes to find us. No. I think he was saying hold up my hands like Aaron and Hur did for Moses. I think he was saying to them, you are my innermost three. You are with me on the Mount of Transfiguration. You three, Peter, James, and John, I need help. Help me. Jesus is pleading with them as they heard his request. It is in the midst of that plan, that burden, that request, just within earshot potentially, but certainly within their view. And they fall asleep. Why? Because they're weak. And oh, my dear brother and my sister, we are weak. He comes back and he finds them asleep and saith unto Peter, what could ye not watch with me 1 hour? You couldn't hang on for 1 hour. 60 minutes. That's the length of this service. They couldn't stay awake. 1 hour. You could not watch with me. They fell asleep. Why do I bring that out? What is God saying to us here? Oh, brother, sister, let us acknowledge that our very best intentions do not equal our best actions. I will not offend you. Though everybody dies, I will not deny you. I will die if that's the price I have to pay. He was sincere. He believed it. But he couldn't even stay awake. There is no criticism of that. This is written to us so that we can learn our own weaknesses. You and I do not have any idea what circumstances God could bring into our lives before we see him that will cause such pressure, cause such temptation, cause such trial that we ourselves could be tempted to say, that's it, I'm done, I can't take it anymore, I'm through with God, I'm through with church, I'm through with the Bible. You say that would never happen to me. You are just like Peter. We are so vulnerable. Oh, yes, we are. But for the grace of God, there goes I. That must always be our humble dependence upon our God. We need to turn our intentions into actions. We need to turn our willingness into practice. There is no questioning the commitment of Peter to Jesus. There is no questioning. I mean, come on. That very night when Judas came, what did he do? Oh, he's not sleeping now. When Judas came, he's ready to wield a sword. It is too late. That is not the time to wield the sword. The time to wield the sword was there in prayer, and it was the sword of prayer. Not the sword made of metal, but the sword made of faith to seek the Lord. The reality is, you could take Jesus' heartache, his burden, his plan, his request, sorrowful unto death, you could put that on one side of a scale, and on the other side you could put their weariness, their weakness, and the weakness weighed more in their lives. The weakness took over their lives. The weakness wrestled them into sleep. Let us give due understanding to the fact that certainly Satan could have a part in that. Well, he has a part in our lives as well. Their own weakness, their own weariness. Who knows what all was going on leading up to that, how long their day was, where they had walked. I don't have any idea. There is no criticism. But oh, may God help us to be instructed. We are willing and we are weak. But there's a third point before we leave the text tonight. And I want you to notice that not only we are willing and we are weak, but my brothers and sisters, we are warned. That brings us to verse 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are warned. There is a warning here to watch. What does Jesus mean when he says to you and to me, watch and pray? What does he mean, watch? Well, of course, we understand that means to be on guard. We understand that that means that we are to be alert. We understand that that means that we are supposed to be aware. We're not supposed to just drift off and just kind of mosey through life. We understand that. We understand that this is the opposite of just being chill. That's the word that seems to be popular today. This is the opposite of take it easy. This is the opposite of just relax. You know, let me try to illustrate it like this. When Jesus says, watch, the reason to watch is because there is danger. Do you believe that? Do you believe there is spiritual danger to your soul? Do you believe that there is indeed someone who is described as a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour? That's what Peter said to us about Satan. That's what God tells us about Satan. Why does God say that Satan is like a roaring lion? Because we cannot conceive, we cannot imagine the nefarious evil of Satan, but we can have some concept of the danger of facing a lion, or like I said this morning, a pit bull. I can't imagine a lion, a roaring lion, a hungry lion. To what do we refer to any kind of defense with a lion? Do you believe that there is danger facing you? I might illustrate it like this. How well are you working with washing your hands these days, my brother and sister? You know, how often are you washing your hands? I mean, are you counting to 1,020? Are you singing happy birthday twice or something? Are you using soap and water? I mean, or it's not a lick and a promise now, is it? I mean, we're out and about, and we want to take time and make sure that we wash our hands well, and we want to be careful to make sure that we wash our hands well. Why? Because we are convinced there is a threat. We are convinced there is a danger. We wash our hands far differently now than we did, or at least I do, than we did several months ago. Why? Because there is this imminent threat. There is this danger. It is a danger of coronavirus. There's nothing wrong with washing our hands like that. But oh, my friend, do you watch? Not just wash. Do you watch and recognize that all around us there are Christian people that make professions, Christian people that make all kinds of, I don't mean to be ugly or critical. You and I must hold on to God. There is no strength in numbers. There is strength in Jesus. And we need to be faithful to Him. We are warned to watch. This is being alert and on guard because we are convinced of danger, convinced that if we do not watch, we will fall. I want you to notice what Jesus said, what we should watch out for when he said, watch and pray. Why? That ye enter not into temptation. Listen to me. He did not say, watch and pray that you're not tempted. He said that you not enter into temptation. There is a distinction there. He did not say, watch and pray that you overcome temptation. No, he didn't. He said, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. Listen, victory is not merely only in overcoming temptation. Victory is in perceiving temptation and staying as far away as you can. Many naive, gullible, sincere, Proverbs-denying Christians today just carry on like there is no danger. No, no, there is no safety except in the Lord Jesus. Danger is all around us. Do not misunderstand Satan's wise, careful, long-term strategy to bring people around you and give you influence on them before he sinks your boat so that he can take others with you. That happens so very often. How we should be warned. Victory is not just in overcoming temptation, but in avoiding it, in perceiving it, in not even entering. Watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. Is this not the prayer of our Lord that he encouraged us to pray when he said in Matthew 6:13, lead us not into temptation? Does that not affirm to us that once tempted, we often give in? Once tempted, we often are already cooked. Lead us not into temptation. The implication of that prayer is, dear Lord, today as I go through my day, as I'm praying for my daily bread, as I'm praying to be forgiven and forgiving, Lord, I am praying that you would lead me in a way that is not into temptation, but away from temptation. That is the prayer. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Help us to run away, pass not by it, not even get close to it. Help us to stay as far away as we can. Why? Because the counsel of Scripture is not to just cease from sinning. The counsel of Scripture is to be holy, and our passion should be to be like our precious one, the Lord Jesus. Watch, watch, watch. There is a warning to watch, but there's a second warning, and that is to pray. Watch and pray. Desperate dependence. How would you have liked to have been Peter? I mean, imagine hearing this one that you just said, I will not be offended even if everybody else is. I will not deny you even if I have to give my life. And then to hear him take you and your two best friends and just the four of you to go away from the others. And then to hear Jesus talk to you about his burden and his soul and ask you to sit here and to pray for him. And then to have him come back to you and find you sleeping and he wakes you up. And then for him to look you in the eyes and to say, watch and pray, when they had just failed to watch and pray. We are willing. We are weak. We need to own our desperate dependence upon God. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Our text says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Our willingness will not carry us through the temptations of life. Do not be deceived by your willingness. Be willing. Be determined. Be sincere. But that's not enough. Our willingness will not carry us through the temptations. Jesus counsels us to watch and to pray. Sincerity and willingness is simply not enough. We need to watch and pray. That is the effective strategy for temptation. Let us not be satisfied with our sincere desire to be godly. Let us not take hope in merely our sincere willingness. Let us not be satisfied with just this sincere desire to be godly, but let us struggle. Let us fight onward. Let us watch and pray to overcome our weaknesses. This passage that we've read tonight is not about Peter. This passage is a mirror. What do you see? What do you see? I pray that we see ourselves. I pray that we see ourselves and own our weakness. I pray that we own our vulnerability and own that we must be in desperate straits to watch and pray, not to check off something off the to-do box day by day by day. No, not out of guilt, not out of shame, not for some ritualistic reason, but because we have a heart that says, I don't want to crash and burn. I want to see Jesus and not be ashamed between now and then and be ashamed at his coming. God help us and God bless us.